Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Thank you guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. So glad you're here. If you're watching from home, so glad you're watching from home this morning. I never feel this way, by the way. I never feel bowed up like that. I just don't. And let me tell you, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who know that they need help. Blessed are those who know that they can't do it on their own. Blessed are those that are dependent upon me. Blessed are those who are humble, for they will receive the kingdom of God. Y'all, this morning, I don't know, maybe some great stuff's been going on in your life and you're all bowed up about it. Or maybe you're really, really hurting this morning. Either way, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. If you're willing to humble yourself and just say, Jesus, I need you. Lord, this morning we come in here. All kinds of stuff going on in our families, God, in our relationships, Lord, in our own hearts and minds. And Lord, we're not bowed up. We understand that you're the vine, we're the branches. And that apart from you, we can do nothing. We are totally dependent upon you. So, Lord, you know what needs to happen. So I pray as we're worshiping, as we're praying, as we're hearing the word, as we're receiving this holy, holy sacrament of your grace in our lives, I pray this morning that we don't stick out our chest and bow up. But, Lord, I pray we open up to the power and love of your Spirit this very morning. Move, God. Come, Lord, and do what needs to be done in every single one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hear this morning the word of the Lord from John chapter 10. It's all red letters this morning, y'all. All the very words of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and he scatters it. And the man runs away, for he's just a hired hand, and he cares nothing for the sheep. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, he's talking about us. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, not of this pasture. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Lord Jesus, this morning, we just ask you, O good shepherd, to come and be good to us. Jesus, this morning, I pray against all this, the downness and the loneliness and the brokenness and the darkness of this world in which we live, that Lord just has grabbed hold of us and maybe even pressing in on our hearts this morning. And Lord, we just ask you, O good shepherd, to come and touch us. To come and heal us, to come and meet us at our place of need this morning. Lord Jesus, remind us this morning of who we are, and especially, Lord, remind us of who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all be seated. So this morning, Sheep 101, this is my version of it, so whether or not it's the most accurate in the world, I don't know, but four D's about sheep. First D is that sheep are dependent. They're helpless. It's impossible for sheep to make it on their own. Now, contrast that with feral hogs in the state of Texas. I mean, those dudes, they live and they eat and they multiply exponentially. There's so many pigs, man, you can't even believe it, right? But without a shepherd to protect the sheep, without a shepherd to feed the sheep and water the sheep, without a shepherd left to their own demise, sheep are without hope. They're helpless. We also see that sheep are defenseless. Now, I've told you the story, so I won't just go into great detail, but when I was 12 years old, I went into partnership with my best friend, Greg Cunningham, to raise sheep. We flipped a coin, and so it was C&H sheep. Cunningham and her sheep. And so every morning, I guess around 7, I would go and feed the sheep. I had a little Massey Ferguson tractor, and it was about a half mile north of town, another quarter mile off the road. And I was driving out, at 12 in Lorenzo, you can drive a tractor like it was a car, right? So I drive the tractor, going to feed the sheep. And when I'm on my way there, I notice there's no movement, there's no activity. When I get a little closer, I see that the pen, that there's like a board has been broken, a couple of boards broken. And then when I get to the sheep, there are 5 very dead sheep. And the dogs had just chased them, I guess, and it caused them to have exhaustion and death. And then they didn't eat like all the sheep. They dug in and ate some internal part that maybe that's what they wanted. Anyway, those sheep didn't have a chance. There's nothing those sheep could do to defend themselves against those dogs. Yesterday, I had a flat on the loop. I was driving around. We had River's birthday yesterday morning. I was driving around to go see Judah's basketball game, far north side. And so got on the loop at Indiana. You know, I looked down and saw my little tire. This is our new car. Looked down, the tire light's on. I'm going, man, that light's never been on in this car. And then I said, Janie, the car's kind of pulling. And I'm in the far left lane going, 65, 70, whatever it is on the loop. I'm in the far left lane. I'm going, this isn't right. And boom, just it blows out. And so, holding it and then letting traffic pass, and I get from that far left lane, get all the way off of the loop, as far right as we can, and this is by the spur. You know when you exit the spur? You know when the road curves, and if you kept going around, you'd take the Marsha Sharp? That's where we had to change the flat. Man. All I know is that was just one of the most scary things that I've ever experienced. Because I realized how completely and totally defenseless. I'm cranking up the jack and I'm keeping my eyes this way. What am I going to do if a car going 70 miles an hour swerves? Nothing. I'm just going to die. Sheep are defenseless. There are many of us here this morning who feel defenseless to what's happening in our lives. That something is going on that's completely outside of our control and we have zero power over it. And then we see that sheep are dumb. I know that's kind of negative to say. Sheep, did you show sheep? Yeah, okay. Sheep are dumb. They have no sense of direction. They easily get lost. And when they do get lost, what they do, right? When they do get lost, they kind of hunker down wherever they are and kind of hide as much as they can. And they're buying, for their shepherd to come and find them, for somebody to come and get them. But what they don't understand is when they're every predator on the planet also hears those bass, right? And I don't know if that's, wolves, coyotes, bobcats, they're coming, right? Preacher and author George Buttrick came one day upon a farmer who had just retrieved a lost sheep. When Buttrick asked how sheep wander away, the farmer said, well, they just nibble themselves lost. They go, he explained, from one tuft of grass into another. Until they lose their way. Little grass, nibble a little grass, tough of grass, until they are lost. Y'all, does that sound familiar? Finances, how do our finances get so messed up? How did our family get so busy? How did our friends get so uninvolved with following Jesus? Or how did we get so broken and estranged from the people that we love? A little tuft of grass, a little tuft of grass, a little nibble, a little nibble, a little nibble, and then we're lost. And sheep don't have a sense of direction to get themselves found. Their only hope is for someone to come and find them. And then sheep are defiant, resistant, stubborn. And if you've shown sheep, all you got to do to show a sheep is you kind of push against them and they push back. That's it. You push against them and they push back and that gets their muscles all, they show their muscles to the judge when he's filling up their frame. Isaiah 53:6 says, We, all of us, like sheep, all of us, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. Sheep are dependent, defenseless, dumb, and defiant. But here in John 10, Jesus flips the metaphor. Here in John 10, Jesus flips the script. Jesus takes what everyone knew to be a helpless and hopeless animal, and he makes that animal, Jesus makes sheep, the descriptive reality of who God wants us to be. Well, I'll tell you what, Pastor, I ain't no sheep. I may be a raging bull, maybe a roaring lion, maybe a powerful racing horse, but I ain't no sheep. And then Jesus says, John 10, 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You hear that? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Three clear truths about what it means to be a sheep of Jesus. And the first truth is that the sheep of Jesus hear. They hear his voice. John 10, 3, to the shepherd, the gatekeeper, when the shepherd comes, the gatekeeper opens the gate, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. John 10, 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. They're just out to harm the sheep, but the sheep did not listen to them. John 10, 16, I have other sheep, not of this fold, talking about not of the fold of the people of Israel. I have other sheep, that's us. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. I wonder this morning, who has your ear? Because who has your ear has your heart. Who are you listening to? Fox News, Facebook, Twitter, your friends, all the stuff that people are saying out there in the world are saying what it ought to be or should be. Do you have your ear and your heart, your ear and your heart tuned into the station of God's voice, or are you tuned in elsewhere? Are you listening to all the chaos and crud of this world? Or do you hear the truth and love and goodness of the Good Shepherd calling you by name? What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? You see, listening takes intentionality. Listening takes time and availability. Listening takes trust. You know why the sheep listened to the shepherd? Because they knew he was taking them to food and water. They knew the shepherd was taking them to be sheltered from the storm. They knew the shepherd was moving them away from the bobcats and the bears, and he was delivering them from evil and taking them to that which was and which is good. How much time do you spend here? I mean, seriously, how much? How much time do you spend here? Whoever has your ear has your heart. Second clear truth about what it means to be a sheep of Jesus is that the sheep of Jesus follow Jesus. They follow Jesus. Go back and look at verse 4. When he has brought us all out, when he has brought out all his own, when the shepherd has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from the stranger because they do not recognize his voice. Where the shepherd goes, the sheep go. Where he leads, they follow. Up the steep hill, through the desolate wasteland, across the narrow rickety bridge, into the dark and unknown cave, the sheep follow the shepherd because the shepherd knows where he's going. The sheep follow the shepherd because the shepherd knows what he's doing. The sheep follow the shepherd because the shepherd always, always has a plan and a purpose for taking care of his sheep. That's who he is. That's what he does. That's what he's always doing. And that's why the sheep follow the shepherd. Richard Dahlstrom tells the story of one glorious autumn when he spent an afternoon climbing with a friend in the Alps. He says, we were climbing near the bottom of a ski area near this steep green slope where a delightful flock of sheep had eaten their full all week. Their bells around their neck were ringing as they grazed and munched the lush alpine meadow. Dawson said that when I got close to them, I tried to speak gently. And though this was their slope and not mine, though it was their food and not mine, their country and not mine, my presence was of no comfort to them at all. They began talking loudly to each other, bah, 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 right? And instantly fled away from me as fast as they could, as if I was a wolf seeking to devour them. Dawson said that later that day, I was climbing with my friend Martin, and at one point I was just hanging from the rope as he was climbing. And I noticed that far up the slope, a man and his son were walking down the mountain and passing through the sheep. And in the distance, I heard the man stop, and I saw the man stop and say a few words in German. The man wasn't shouting or cajoling. He was just speaking calmly to his sheep. The effect, however, was immediate. All the sheep came running toward him, first the older sheep and then the lambs. Their bells were really ringing as some of the sheep were seemingly sprinting to the shepherd. When they were all within spitting distance of the shepherd walked down to the ski area parking lot and the sheep followed. From there, he led the sheep through the town and they followed. He led them right through the main street where some people were sitting down to eat ice cream and roasted chestnuts. He led them right through the town where other people were buying their clothes and doing their banking. Right through Main Street, he led them and they followed. Right in the midst of all the commercial chaos, right in the midst of all these unknown and seemingly terrifying people, the sheep followed the shepherd. I wonder this morning where Jesus, our good shepherd, may be leading you. I wonder if you're willing to go where he's going. I wonder if you're willing to do what he's doing. I wonder where Jesus is leading you in your relationships, in your workplace, in your church. Third clear truth about what it means to be a sheep of Jesus is that the sheep know, they know their shepherd. John 10 verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. The Greek word for know is gnesko. Gnesko is used 8 times in John chapter 10. It might be an important word. Our good shepherd gnescos us, and we are called to gnesco him. That means that he knows us, and we are to know him intimately. Gnesco is actually the same word that is used to describe knowing someone through sexual intimacy. In the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, when the angel is talking to Mary, this is Luke 1:34, Mary says, "How can this be?" Mary asks the angel, "Since I have never gnescoed a man." How can this be, since I am a virgin? Last night at our night of prayer, I met a lot of people there from here, from all over the city. And I might could maybe still remember some of their names, maybe. But y'all, I don't know them. I mean, I really don't know them. I don't gnesco them. Jesus says, my sheep will intimately know me, and I will intimately know them. The sheep of Jesus don't just know Jesus as an acquaintance. He's not just somebody, oh yeah, I met him like 20 years ago. Yeah, I remember when I was a teenager, I knew him then. You know, I've heard about him. I know about him through the church that I go to. That's not the word. The sheep of Jesus don't just know Jesus as an acquaintance. They know him by personal experience. They don't just know about Jesus. They know him as a close, intimate, loving Savior and friend. And Jesus, our good shepherd, doesn't just know you as one of a zillion million humans. He knows you and he loves you as his dear child. His dear son, his dear daughter. Psalm 139 says this, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. You know everything there is to know about me. Before a word is even on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." Jesus knows you this morning. Everything there is to know about you, he knows you. He knows it when you're hurting or when we're hurting. He knows when we are sinning. He knows our greatest failures and our greatest dreams. He knows where we have true joy and where we have fake and pretend happiness. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and he still loves us. He still shepherds us. You see, here's the deal. We are priceless and beautiful lambs, not because of what we do, not because of where we sit on Sunday morning, not because, you know, we go through some, you know, spiritual to-do list. He calls us valuable. He loves us. We have value. Our value as sheep comes not in what we do, but in what our good and faithful shepherd has done and is doing for us. Our value comes from the fact that we are his sheep. Jesus says, John 10:14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." What gives us value, y'all, is that we are his. We belong to Jesus. Can I get you to just kind of say that with me and believe that with me this morning? Just say, it's on the screen, just this phrase, "I belong to Jesus." I say it again, like me, just a little bit louder. "I belong to Jesus." And now like you really mean it, because it's really true. "I belong to Jesus." Here in John 10, here's what Jesus, our good shepherd, does for us. First, he lays down his life. He gave his life for you and for me. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he gave his life. And secondly, Jesus doesn't run away. Jesus never abandons us. Remember, the hired hand, he does. He's not vested. But Jesus is all the way in on you. He's not going anywhere. He will always be there for us. In his presence is his protection. In his presence is his provision. In his presence is his purpose in our lives. Y'all, he's here. And when you go home, he's going to be there. And when you're all alone tomorrow night, he's going to be there. When you wake up at 4 a.m. on Thursday, he's going to be there. He will never leave us or forsake us. And then he gives us life. It's that John 10:10 promise, which we all know, but we forget it's in the context of shepherding sheep. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All the thief wants to do is harm the sheep. But Jesus says, "I have come." The shepherd, the good shepherd, has come that we might have life and life abundantly. Plerao. Life to the full, life to the fully good, life abundantly. Choice, y'all. You listening to the thief? Are you dancing with the devil? Or are you listening and following the good shepherd himself? You see, in Jesus' mind and heart, as he's teaching that day, and in the mind and heart of the hearers, his hearers that day, there's this psalm, there's this beautiful song of the shepherd boy who became king. You know it, and we know it as Psalm 23. Just listen to those words of that, or that song once again. "The Lord is my shepherd, my shepherd. He is mine, and I am his. I shall not be in want," because if I have him, if he really is the center of my life, if I am really full of the shepherd, if I'm really following and loving and opening my life to the shepherd, then everything else is going to be all right. It may not always be the way I want it, but he will be there with me. If he, you know, again, that God-shaped vacuum, If that void in our lives is really filled with the Good Shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need anything else. If that's really true, then we can trust that shepherd to do everything that needs to be done in our lives. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You imagine, in my own mind, you know, I'm growing up, I'm in, on the farm, we got that's belly deep alfalfa that he makes us stop eating in. He makes us, in this song, get to this place of grass. In this place of grass, he takes us and makes us stop here till we are full of that which will nourish us. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Guess what? Sheep don't drink out of rivers that move. It's got to be still. And the shepherd knows how to get us to those waters. He restores my soul. When the sheep get all busted up and cut up and they're hurting or they're wounded or their leg is broken, he restores them. He heals them. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me, they protect me. My enemies may be great, God, but you're the good shepherd and you are greater than my enemies. In fact, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, imagine, here's the sheep and here's the shepherd giving them the feed and the trough, or maybe the bale of hay and the pen, and all those predators are all around and they're just having to watch the sheep feast because the shepherd has them. And as long as the shepherd has the sheep are feasting and everybody else is just watching. The enemies may be great in your life, but the good shepherd is greater. You anoint my head with oil. You imagine those sheep just getting that oil put on their wool and on their face, feeling the very touch of the shepherd. And my cup overflows. The presence of the shepherd is so clear and powerful that his presence is not just known on the outside of us, but from within us is overflowing. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Maybe those little sheepdogs chasing after us until goodness and mercy get us and get us to the place that the shepherd really wants us to be. And I will dwell in the house. The shepherd will take us all the way home. I will dwell in the house of the Lord, not just for today, not just for tomorrow. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the song spinning around in Jesus' head in John 10. And may it be the song that goes around in our head and heart, our heads and our hearts, not just in church, but as we're living out there, that shepherd's taking us, that shepherd is leading us, that shepherd is feeding us, that shepherd is protecting us, that shepherd is healing us, that shepherd is catching us when we're running away, and he's carrying us all the way home. I also especially love the sheep story that Jesus told. My favorite chapter in the Bible, in Luke 15. Then Jesus told them this story. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? He's got to find the sheep before the predators do. And when he finds it, he joyfully gets that sheep, but he puts it up on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and he says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." And I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing. They may be having a pretty big party on earth, you know, but there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Last night at a night of prayer, Larry Gaumont shared about Kairos ministry, and Willie's here and she can tell you this story better than I can, but Larry shared that out at the Monford unit, you know, for a couple of years they couldn't go in because of COVID, but they're back in and they did 27 baptisms at the Monford unit. Four of the people that were baptized were part of the Kairos that just took place. And at the prison, they have this kind of a classification of prisoners. So G1 through 3, that's general population. G4, that's folks that get to come out of their cells and they get to go out in the yard once a week. But G5s are those, if they ever come out, they stay bound at the wrist and bound at the ankles. So everywhere they go, they got a guard on one side and a guard on the other, and they have to walk bound in their wrist and bound in their ankles. And he said when they had the baptism, that they brought in this guy, he's like 6'4", 250 pounds, and you know, here are the chains coming in, and he's walking in. And they baptized him, and everybody in that place went crazy. Woohoo! You know, I mean, the prisoners did, the guards did, the chaplain did. And the man who was baptized, he said, "Can I call my mom? Can I call my mama?" And the chaplain's one of the only ones who can have a cell phone in the prison. So dialed his mom, and he put the phone to his ear. He said, "Mama, I got baptized. Mama, I got saved. Mama, I got Jesus." I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in that place. And whatever the party was down here on planet Earth, that was just a little glimpse of the party that was going on with Jesus and the angels. You see, we have a good shepherd who is in the lost sheep business. We have a lost shepherd, a good shepherd named Jesus, who's in the searching for lost sheep business. We have a good shepherd named Jesus, who's in the rescuing of lost sheep business. We have a good shepherd named Jesus, who's in the business of you and me and whatever's going on in our lives. For 1 minute, sit back, watch this video, and let the good shepherd show up in your life. Where do you need the good shepherd to hold you, to touch you, to heal you? I want to go back to Isaiah 53. These words are written 700 years before Jesus was even born, and yet hear them speaking of Jesus. "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows." I want you to hear this. We always say Jesus died to take away our sins. Yes, he did. But he also took up our pain, and he bore our suffering. "Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace," like the choir was singing about earlier this morning, "the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed." We are made whole. And again, we already read it. "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In the blood of Jesus, there is forgiveness of sins. Absolutely. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So there's not just the forgiveness of sins, there's the freedom from sin. "And by his wounds, by his blood shed upon the tree, upon the cross, by his wounds we are healed." So this morning, as you come, don't just take bread and juice into your tummy. Take Jesus into the very core of your being. And let Him forgive you. Let Him free you. And let Him bring healing to you. Don Kinder and I are going to be praying for folks. We got oil on the altar. If you need prayer for healing, you kind of raise your hand and we'll pray for you. We remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He gave thanks to His Father, and He broke the bread and He said, "Take, eat. This is My body which is given for you." And likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And once again, He gave thanks to His Father, and He poured the cup. He said, "This is My blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this, eat this in remembrance of Me." Lord Jesus, it's our desire not just to remember this stuff in our heads as we come this morning. We need to re-experience You, that intimacy, that kinesko, that knowledge of Your presence and Your Spirit working in our lives. So Lord, as we take this bread and this juice, as we kneel at this altar, Lord, may You just show up. Good Shepherd, come and heal Your little lambs. Good Shepherd, come and feed us and nourish us and change us. Anoint us with that oil that our cup would surely overflow to this world in which we live. Come and receive Jesus. Yesterday we had River's 5th birthday, and it was a tea party princess birthday. So all the girls came dressed in these real pretty dresses. And in Elise's family, there's some teapots, I think, that are like over 100 years old. And so her dad brought those. And so we're filling them up with hot tea. I don't know how much the girls like the hot tea with the sugar and all that kind of stuff. But we were making memories, right? Y'all, when we come to this table, we're not just making memories. We come to this table of grace. God's Spirit is transforming eternities. We're not just remembering something. God is doing something. Y'all, in the name of Jesus, go forth as sheep, not as weak and passive sheep, but sheep that have the Shepherd in the lead, sheep that have the Shepherd in their focus, sheep that are moving out into the world, not just to eat and consume, but moving out into the world as the sheep of Jesus who love this world even as He loves us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.